Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 275.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Episode number 275. Wow. Three quarters of the way to 300. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here and listening as always. I'm tired. I'm really tired. And that's because I've been working on charts all day long for my band. And believe it or not, I'm in a band. It's a pop, soul, funk band-ish, folk. We have a lot, it's a lot of cross genres, honestly. A lot of jazz, a lot of folk, a lot of pop, everything I just said, pretty much. But we have a big single release show coming up. We're going to be releasing our first single and then our album later in the year. You can hear all the music on Spotify and all streaming platforms once we release it. So if you're interested in that, feel free to check out the music, honestly. You know, since starting the business, I haven't really dabbled in recording much, you know, and kind of like going that route because I've been so involved with education. But lately, I've been very inspired to actually work on my performance career, my playing career. And obviously, I've played around a lot. I've played with a lot of big cats. I continue to do so. And that's always fun. But I really haven't like done my own thing. And obviously, I lead my trio around Sacramento and different areas of the nation, but again, nothing to the point of where I'm really kind of going all in, making albums, recording, submitting them, trying to play festivals and stuff like that. But it's actually one of my goals, you know, it's one of my goals to do that. I'm working, the band that I am talking about though is called Solabel, and if you want to go check us out, go to solabelmusic.com. And the music we have up there is actually just recorded music that we did through quarantine. And the written music that will be coming out and released is brand new, is our original music. So all the music you hear on there are kind of covers for the most part, different things like that that we played. But yeah, we're really excited to release this music. And again, I'm writing my own trio music and strictly jazz music, obviously, because I love jazz, but I also love all genres. As you can see, I run a band that's, you know, cross genre band. So I love all music. I love all types of music. I love listening to everything. I love playing everything as well. Funk, jazz, soul, pop, folk, heavy metal. Probably not a heavy metal guy. You know, I probably couldn't hang on that gig with my piano. But anyway, I'm beat. It's been hard to keep up with all these projects, and I'm really trying to figure out a good solution to this because it's been a little bit too much for me, and I have to kind of admit that. You know, the accelerator program is running right now. There's a lot of events going on for them and the students, and they're making such amazing progress. And I just care so much. You know, I feel like they're all kind of my piano children, right? That I really care for. I always reach out. How are you doing? How's everything going? I'm corresponding with them. Obviously, we have the Zoom meetings and things like that, private lessons, groups, everything like that. But that coupled with my band project, coupled with, you know, my fiance supporting, you know, trying to be present in a relationship, and obviously life in general, seeing people, and wow, my, you know, the other business I'm starting to help creatives, help musicians, artists, anyone really that wants to start a business and wants to kind of break away from their 9-to-5. That's going to be my other thing I'm doing. So needless to say, I'm very, very busy, and it's really, really hard. I've started to realize that I really can't do all of this at the same time. I mean, I really need to put my focus into one thing or the other. So thankfully, when the single release show is over, we don't really need to do much more. Our music will be released and coming out, so preparing for the concert's obviously the hardest thing. I will be actually turning my focus to JPS and to, not that I don't focus on JPS, but very meticulously on JPS for a couple reasons. Because you might have gotten my email a while back, and there's going to be some changes, right? There's going to be some changes. And I've learned a lot from running the Accelerator program, and I want to bring what I've learned educationally to more people, to you. And what I've learned is essentially things about helping students get results, more results already. One of the biggest things is accountability, right? Is accountability and having that accountability set in the framework of learning, right? And how do you do that? When you're left to your own discipline, everybody on the face of the earth, things will fall through the cracks. It's the same thing. And that's why the greatest athletes have coaches. They have a team to hold them accountable, to watch them, to help them. Everyone needs that because, right, you just got to show up. You got to show up and do the work, right, to get better. And we all want it, but obviously life takes over. We get tired. We get lazy. We get, all those different things. So that's what I'm going to be working on. And I don't want to give it away, but I am going to mention the word Black Friday, because Black Friday will be the last chance, essentially, to get this lifetime access that I've been giving out for a long time. Not giving out, obviously, you have to pay for it, but essentially, Black Friday is going to be the last time that you're going to be able to do that, because everything's going to be changing in the new year. Now, the other cool thing is that we're going to be releasing the improv course come January. And at the same time with the course, I'm going to be launching a 2 to 3 week program. I haven't really kind of laid out the details quite yet, but that will go hand in hand with the improvisational specialty course release, where you can study with me and work with me to walk you through the entire course so that you're gaining that accountability. You're learning about everything, and you're actually going to see way more results by doing that. And so, yeah, it's going to be fantastic, and I'm super excited about that. But that's neither here nor there. I'll continue to provide more information about that, because the great thing is that the improvisation specialty course and the program that I'm going to run in January is going to be included, which for everyone else, it won't be. It's going to be included in the Black Friday offer. So come Black Friday, you'll be able to get access not only to all the amazing stuff that's inside of Jazz Piano School already, I don't want to give it all away, but you'll be able to get access to the improvisational specialty course and the program for an amazing, amazing bundled offer that obviously, you know, we all know what Black Friday's for. You get the biggest discount, you get the best deal. It's really, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it, right? You just don't see the same deals anywhere else except Black Friday, that weekend of Black Friday. It's the biggest shopping day of the year, right? And for good reason, because I do all my shopping too. I go out and I save, I know I have things I need to buy, and I buy them on Black Friday because hands down, it's the best price. It will always be the best price. And that's exactly what I'm going to do for everyone, for JPS, everyone that wants to get involved with Jazz Piano School, wants to, you know, hop on. Now, I should say, by the way, the changes I'm making are for the better. They're for the better. They're going to be to benefit you. Now, when I say like, oh, it's going to be the last time you can do this, you know, it's not because like I'm trying to take away something. I'm increasing the accountability and the tools and the resources that students need, you need inside of Jazz Piano School as a member, right, to make even more progress. And that's what we're working on. That's what I'm working on with my team, to do that so that everything goes so much faster. Because I've seen this happen now in the Accelerator program that I ran. And the students, you know, someone said to me the other day, they were like, you know, this is so amazing and it's going great. I just have no idea what I'm going to do when it's over, right? And that's like, man, I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, like it's been going so well for them. They're like, I don't want it to end, right? Anyway. Sterling has an amazing episode for you coming up right now. I'm so grateful to have him on my team. He's like an amazing, amazing pianist. And yeah, I'll stop talking and I'll let him teach. Here we go.
All right, so I have a question for you guys to get started today. How often do you use the metronome when you practice? If you're like me, we can often be guilty of practicing without the metronome. Maybe we can use play-alongs sometimes, or maybe we're just used to playing with a band, you know, where people kind of follow our time, our sense of time, and we feel it as a group. But really the best way to work on your sense of tempo and sense of time feel is in the practice room with a metronome. So I'm here today to talk to y'all about how to make friends with the metronome. As we know, the metronome doesn't lie, and sometimes it can be your best friend or worst enemy. And we all have been, you know, in that place where we're practicing a piece maybe that we're having trouble with, maybe a difficult passage, and it seems like that metronome is just fighting us every step of the way. So what I'm going to show you today are some ideas for tips that you can use to practice the metronome to get a consistent sense of time feel. You know, working from the ground up, starting at a comfortable tempo and bumping up the tempo to where you feel that you can play at a variety of tempos and still stay with the metronome. And I've also got some creative ways that you can use the metronome to enhance your internal sense of time. So that you have more independence and a stronger general sense of time feel, so that when you go to play in a group, you can equally contribute to the time feel and not feel like you have to rely on someone else's sense of time. So the metronome can be a great way to work on that. So we're going to start with just a typical warm-up, just your basic scales using the metronome. And we're going to start more traditionally, maybe how you're used to using the metronome. I'm going to start with mine on 102 beats per minute. And I'm just going to try some eighth note scales, you know, just like you would in your regular warm-up routine. So this is on every quarter note, right? And we're going to play eighth notes. So if we do C major, simple, right? So that must be familiar for a lot of people. That's kind of a more classical approach to practicing scales, right? Of course, we can always change things up when we're practicing jazz and add some swung eighth notes. So the metronome's sort of acting as our drummer here, right? Well, what would happen if we changed this up and only had our drummer playing on beats 1 and 3? So we gotta do a little math here. If we were at 102, now we're gonna divide that by 2. We're gonna change our metronome to 51. So that's half as fast. This is now gonna be the half note. If you have a fancy metronome app, you can often change the subdivision. For example, my metronome has a functionality where I can remove some beats, which can be a fun way to change this up. If you have an old-fashioned analog thing, you can just have the tempo just like we did. But if you want to get fancy, you can remove every other beat. So this would be the half note now. So I'm going to go old-fashioned for now and just have mine on 51, half as fast. So now we are at 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So already you can tell it's more important for me to maintain that time feel without the aid of the metronome on all four beats. We had the metronome on 1 and 3. We can also flip that around and have the metronome on 2 and 4. So if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's a little bit of a different feel. Rather than having the metronome on the strong beats, we've got it on every other beat of the measure. You call it the weak beats. So that's an interesting challenge to try. Now we can go one step further, and rather than having it on beats 1 and 3, we can just have it on one beat in the measure. So that would be beat 1 to start, and we're going to use 26. If we were doing some math, it'd be like 26.5, but my metronome doesn't go in between the numbers. I only have whole numbers, so I'm going to use 27. Let's try that. This is going to be the whole note now. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, so you'll notice that we were playing the same tempo pretty much the whole time, right? Maybe by a difference of a few decimals, but not a noticeable difference. The tempo was consistent throughout, but the number of beats the metronome was giving us went from 4 beats, every beat in the measure, to half the number of beats, each half note, versus a whole note, 1 beat per measure. The whole note can be very challenging because there's so much space in between each beat that it's giving us. You want to make sure that you're landing on the same beat as the metronome at the beginning of each measure, which can be challenging. One way to get around this, to improve your sense of time, is to feel the small beats. So if the metronome is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, you can even just practice saying the 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. So it can be easy to get a little ahead if you're feeling it a little faster than the metronome, or a little behind. So the metronome, like we said, it never lies. So we want to get used to feeling that tempo with the metronome to improve our internal sense of time. Now that the metronome isn't feeding us all 4 beats, we got to get used to that. If you wanted to take this exercise a step further, you could place the beat on a different part of the measure. You could place it on beat 2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, so we can see that really reveals any sort of imperfections. You know, if we're rushing in a spot or dragging, we'll soon notice that we're either ahead or behind that beat. So our internal sense of time has to match where the metronome is placing the beat. So we just did this exercise with a major scale. You can do this with straight or swung eighth notes. You can do your normal scale routine, like 4 octaves, contrary motion, 2 octaves, intervals at the 10th or the 6th, anything you have in your technical practice or warm-up routine, you can do this with the metronome. You can also practice chords in this way. You know, you can practice some comping. Like, for example, if we go back up to our half note at 51 beats per minute, I can practice some 2/5s. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sort of an in-between tempo. This is a little slower than maybe we're used to comping at, but it can be good to also test yourself at different tempos. You know, we were at 102 to the quarter note. You can go up to 108, 116, 120, and feel what it's like to comp at all those different tempos without having the aid of the metronome on all 4 beats. So you can practice this for scales, comping. The most important thing, I think, to use this for is improvising, because we want to have a good eighth note flow whenever we're improvising. So what I'll do is I'll play a blues, for example, and practice it with the metronome on 1 and 3, just to see what that would feel like. So we're going to speed it up to 144 for this blues. If we divide that by 2, that's going to be 72. So our half note is 72 beats per minute, and our quarter note is 144. 1, 2, oh, 2 at this new tempo, 72 to the half note, and I put the metronome on beats 1 and 3, so I'm not relying on all 4 beats to tell me where the tempo is. And when I do my improvised eighth note lines, I really have to settle into that time feel. We can do the same thing on 2 and 4, just to change it up. 1, 2, 1, 2. What it would sound like on 2 and 4. Now lastly, we're going to go all the way down, divide that by 2, that would be 36, and we're going to make it the whole note now. So let's try it on beat 1. This is a little more challenging, so I'm going to do just the right hand, just to focus on that. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Chorus of blues with the metronome on only beat 1. Now, just like we talked about earlier, you can move this to beat 2, which can be really challenging when you're not playing a set melody or chords in your left hand, if you're just improvising with your right hand. This is something that bass players will do a lot when they're practicing walking. They'll say, I'm walking all 4 beats, but am I lining up with the metronome when it's on beat 2 only, or if it's on beat 4 only? You could even go a little further and divide it in half again and put it on beat 1 of every other measure, which would be a really long space. So that's a fun exercise you can use to test your internal sense of time or your internal metronome when you're practicing improvising. So I hope this gives you some helpful ideas of ways that you can make friends with the metronome and improve your internal sense of time. I would start with scales, both straight eighths and swung, then do some chord changes, some comping, with your favorite voicings, and then try some improvising and see how it goes. All right, happy practicing, everybody.